So today we're going to talk about conflict, which is just kind of funny because like every person who saw the, the schedule, as it got posted this last week, every time they saw that it said conflict next to me, people literally would stop and point and laugh and were like, you have to talk about conflict, because that's like my life has been a perpetual series of conflicts and discussions and conversations, and anyone who does know me, I'm not that natural, typical bull by the horns type of person. So the good part about that is I have been in my Bible like nonstop researching and studying about a lot of these verses and a lot of these techniques. But the downside to that is that is not something that naturally comes well to me. So I do have to really work really hard. And just even when I was sitting here and I'm going over these things and I studied on this, and I just even going back over it, I'm so completely challenged by everything every single time. So I just want to come before you guys and let you guys know that this is an incredible weakness of mine. This is something that over a period of almost 18 years of being around, that I have been fighting and working through, and still to this day I don't have it down perfectly. So you're probably going to get a lot more what not to than what to, but I know that I learn sometimes better that way too. So the thing about conflict is it is inevitable. It's part of life, and although it's unpleasant, it's necessary to be prepared to handle it in a wise and godly manner. And I think that is probably the number one thing that I'm a good girl. I know I will just kind of use that term. I'll throw it out just to kind of quickly define. I'm a good girl. I'm a rule follower. I believe A plus B should always equal C, and 2 + 2 should always equal 4. And if you put in this, then you should get that. So that's just my typical personality trait. And it's funny because I have some friends who are the complete opposite. They're rule breakers, and they think that what can I get for the least amount of work? And so it's funny that we work well together because we learn to figure each other out. But for me, I look at this and I would assume in my perfect on paper world that if I do the things the right way, then I will never encounter conflict, so I don't even need to worry about it. I'm not a highly I can be abrasive at times, but for the most part I'm very sensitive. I try to be really gentle, so I'm like, I really shouldn't need to worry that much about conflict, because if I try really hard not to be offensive to people, or I try really hard to do the right thing, then I'll never encounter conflict. And that's just simply not true. From the beginning of time, from the beginning of man, there has been conflict. It's completely and utterly unavoidable. So if we can just kind of throw that out right here, right now, if you say that you never encounter conflict, then you're either not being honest with yourself, or you're going to fit in one of the categories we're going to talk about later. But it's just really important for us to know, okay, this is going to happen. If you plan on getting married someday, you might as well plan on having a lot of conflict. If you plan on having children, or you do have children already, you know that there's conflict. It can be something as small as socks, shoes, wearing underwear underneath jeans. Like I can't believe how many conflicts I've had in my life over underwear and little boys, and and just figuring out how to handle things in a very godly and a wise way. Since the beginning of man, conflict has been an issue. Every person has in some way, shape, or form faced conflict with another human being. And today we're going to look, since we're doing everything out of Acts, we're going to look at Acts 6, 1 through 7. And the first century church was no exception to this. I kind of like this one because it's kind of funny when you sit back and you look at it. It seems kind of small and really not that big a deal, but as women, we really like to take those small things and make them bigger things. So I thought it was pretty apropos that this was the verse we were going to look at. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of spirit and wisdom. We will turn over this responsibility to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man of full faith and of the Holy Spirit. And then they chose a bunch of other people I don't have time to go through. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Okay, so just really quickly, you have 2 different groups. One group says, "We have widows," and the other group has widows, and this group over here says, you're neglecting ours, you're not feeding ours. So they start to grumble and they start to complain. And so therein lies a conflict, you know. And I feel like this is pretty typical of our, you know, relationships. Something, you overlooked a need in my life, or you said, or you did something to so-and-so that, you know, in some way, shape, or form, kind of rubbed the wrong way, and then the grumbling and the complaining starts, and then there starts to be friction. You know, so in a little bit, we're going to look at how they handled theirs in the correct manner. But really fast, I think it's really important for us, like I said, to talk about how not to handle things, because I know for me, sometimes I'm my first instinct is to just simply do the wrong thing. My human nature, my sinful nature, whatever you want to call it, is to go to one of these 4 areas. And so we're going to go through them really quick. And when you do this, I want you to kind of maybe just put a little check mark next to what you think your natural reaction is. Okay, so the first way that we handle conflict that is a no-go is ignoring the conflict. This is just hoping it'll go away. It's avoidance, it's sweeping under the rug. It can be any of those things, but it's just that typical, like, what problem? I don't know. There's no problem. You know, someone can come up and say something that is just completely, you know, abrasive and rude, and you can read all over their face that they're devastated by it. But when someone says, you know, you really should tell them that, they're like, "What are you talking about? There's no problem. There's nothing there." You know, and so it's just kind of that crossing your fingers and just hoping that things will just resolve themselves on their own. The second one is the pouting, moping, waiting for someone else to do something about it. I feel like this is probably my go-to for my marriage conflicts, is pouting and moping. I hope that you see that I'm just so distraught by my heavy sighs, by the fact that I'm shutting doors, you know, maybe a little bit louder and more firmly than I would before, you know, that kind of way. But it can also, you know, be that passive aggressive nature of, like, you know, "Oh no, everything's, you know, fine," but you're very, very dramatic about things. The third thing is projection. A lot of times this comes out in the complaining or getting upset over every other little thing besides what the real issue is at hand. You know, it could be there, I truly have a problem with something here, but I feel like that's too sensitive a subject for me to talk about or whatever. So I'm going to, you know, lose it over this, and this, and I'm going to get really upset. I'm going to get, you know, all bent out of shape, maybe make a big deal out of things. And then when you sit down with someone, a lot of times you're like, okay, I feel like this is what you're saying you're upset about. But the more you talk to, you know, someone, then you can kind of be like, that's not really what you're upset about. You're really upset about this, you know, this core problem there. But a lot of times as women, I feel like it's very easy for us to just be like, no, I'm upset about, you know, my hair. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm just feeling insecure today or whatever. When in reality, we're truly, there's truly a deeper issue and a deeper conflict there that needs to be resolved. And then there's the fourth one, explosion, rage, angry outburst. You know those people who are just, they just come in and guns a blazing. It could be, you know, you simply looked at someone the wrong way and they're like, what, you want to talk about this now? Let's deal with this now. Like, and you're like, I had a weird itch or something. Like, what are you talking about? But, you know, there's always, like, always right away. Hey, you got a problem. Let's deal with it right now. Like, you know, but it's not in a, hey, there's a problem, let's sit down and deal with it. But there's, you know, they're like, you know, just fly off a handle at, you know, anything. You know, if you ever, the road rage people, like you drive around with them and like someone like barely swerves over into the lane like a mile ahead of them and they're like, what the crap? You're trying to kill me. I have a blah, blah, blah. And they like lose their mind. And I just always think things like that are just so funny. I'm always like, they're not even, you know, like they probably changed their radio and they just not, it's not a personal attack against you. But like I know people like drive up next to them and they'll be like, come on, pull over, pull over. And they're like, their people are like, why? Leave me alone. But I feel like when me and my husband first got married, like he was totally that, and I was like, oh, I know you cut me off and you drug me into the, but it's fine. No, no problems. And you know, we both kind of worked towards meeting more towards the middle. But the thing about those four, and obviously there's other kind of ways that we deal with it, but everything can, I feel like can really fit into those four categories. But the thing about those are that none of them are truly effective in resolving conflict. Those might be ways that you and I choose to deal with the conflict in our life, but none of them are going to truly resolve it. They may it may placate someone, it may, you know, shut someone down. We may even just be able to push people away so that the conflict appears to have gone away, because you know, like you can, there's an eruptive behavior, people are going to kind of scatter, shut down, and leave, and so it can appear that the conflict has resolved itself, but in reality, people are just too scared to really, you know, to really get to the root of the matter and really resolve it. And so if I'm looking at it, and this is where I feel like God's really had to change my mind and my ideas of relationships and things like conflict, because I truly hate it. I hate conflict. The thought of someone else being upset with me or having to go deal with something or whatever just puts this ball in the pit of my stomach, and I feel like I'm gonna throw up and I can't sleep at night. And it's just one of those things where I just really, truly hate it. But I have to look at what is the end goal. And the end goal of every conflict should be reconciliation, not punishment. If you've grown up in a home where punishment was always kind of like something happened and there had to be a negative result for it, and I feel like I did kind of grow up in that kind of atmosphere, it's very hard for us, like us good girls, sometimes to get out of, well, something wrong happened, therefore punishment has to, you know, ensue. And that takes out all the grace, it takes out all the mercy, that takes out, you know, the ability for me to be able to change and grow, or for you know, maybe the conflict to be a beneficial thing. And I think for a lot of us, we look at it and we're like, conflict is not, you know, if I were to ask you, like, is conflict a good or a bad thing? I think most of the time we would say, like, it's a negative thing, it's a bad thing. But what I've really found, especially in these last 6 months of my life, where I feel like I'm like, man, okay, another conflict, okay, another thing, you know, or another situation, I found that it can truly be beneficial. It can be beneficial for me, it can be beneficial for the other person, beneficial for our ministries, beneficial for our families, tons of different things. So if reconciliation is truly my end goal and not punishment, then there's a few things that I need to make sure that I'm doing. And the first thing is I should pursue peace. I should constantly be trying to pursue peace. And this is where we do kind of get confused in the areas of those of you who may be the ignorers. It's not to pursue a fake sense of peace, or like I said, like to placate a situation. It's to, I really, they're truly want to have peace in different areas. So if there's, you know, Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know, if it's possible with me and I can be someone who can live peacefully with people, then that means that I really should. That means that I shouldn't be nitpicky. That means that I shouldn't sit there and look for reasons to be offended or upset by someone. And a really good judge of this, I feel like for me, something that I have learned, is to look at someone's heart and their character. If there's someone who's truly someone who's got a really good heart, and there it is not in their character to be, you know, to be rude or offensive, you know, or whatever. If I know they really love me and they say something, then it really does allow me to not be offended by, you know, a look, a gesture, To be honest, a lot of times when we get more offended by what people don't do than by what they do. Am I the only one who feels that way? Or, you know, like, I felt ignored, or I felt like, well, they came in and they gave a lot more attention to someone else than they gave to me. Or this is, you know, I feel like I've never been a big birthday person because my birthday's on Christmas. So this is a problem that I face, is people be like, you didn't make my birthday a big deal. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't really, birthdays aren't that big a deal to me. Like, they're just not, you know, when your birthday's on Christmas, it's like, you know, whatever. It's just not like, ah. So I really, you know, I learned over the years, I've really offended people who, like, their birthdays were a really big deal. And, you know, and it's just different things like that. But if you can look at someone's heart and you can be like, man, that person loves me. That person always, like, you know, has my best interest at heart. So maybe, like, she came in and she didn't, like, you know, act like I was the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know, or whatever it might be. Or maybe she was, you know, short or something with me, but that's normally, like, not who she is. Maybe she's tired, or, you know, or with our relationships with, you know, significant others, you know, like, well, I know my husband loves me. So if he says something that, you know, I, you know, look at as like, well, that was rude, like, I have a choice whether or not I'm going to, like, come out with my, you know, with my claws out, or if I'm going to be like, okay, that person didn't mean that way. And it's amazing how much conflict really can be avoided if we can look at it and be like, there's absolutely no reason for me to be offended. There's just not, like, you know, those people are not in any way, shape, or form, you know, doing, you know, they're not sinning, they're not trying to be hurtful or anything like that. And it's just a really good starting ground from, and like I said, I'm saying this because I'm such a sensitive person. I am so sensitive. You can say something and I can dissect it 15 different ways, and that it can be, you know, and honestly, something that's been really good for me is to have someone that I can go to and be like, I'm being a totally sensitive, overly sensitive about this, right? Somebody who can, is one of those people that is going to be honest with me and going to say, you know, whatever, and gonna be like, yeah, nobody meant anything offensive by that, or, oh, yeah, there might be something there, you should probably go talk to that person. Because I could literally talk to probably every person in here at some point in time over the weekend by thinking that you didn't like me at some point in time. You know, like, I smiled at you, walked by, and you didn't smile back. Did I do something to offend you? Are you mad at me? Like, and they're like, I don't even know you. I thought you were cleaning the bathrooms. Like, you know, or whatever. So, you know, I just think it's a really, really good starting point for us, because we can be overly sensitive. And we do live in a culture that says you have the right to be ticked off all the time about everything that everybody says. And I'm in no way saying that people should be hateful or, you know, and just allow that. I'm not saying that. But, you know, it really is, like, you know, it's one of those things where I found that my life goes so much smoother when, you know, I've embraced the awkwardness or the weirdness or the imperfections in my life, and I've learned to just kind of roll with them and let people tease me and joke around and stuff. And so I think that kind of, you know, underneath that, it's really important for us to differentiate between an offense and a sin. And I feel like with college girls especially, this is something I've really been looking at and really studying and really, you know, people may do something that is annoying to us. People may do something that we don't like, you know, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't sit down and be like, hey, you know, like, things are going to go a lot smoother with you, you know, if you didn't, like, do this, and this, because it can come across as really aggravating or really annoying. But, you know, and I feel this as a mother, like, leaving their dishes in the sink, gosh, I can't stand that. Like, it drives me crazy when my kids do that. But for me, I have to really choose my battles of if that's worth the conflict, or if it's one of those things where it's part of a bigger problem. If it's part of a sin, like, my children are lazy and they never put anything away and they don't clean them after themselves and, you know, those kind of things, then yeah, maybe we need to go head to head because they're treating me like I'm a maid and they're being irresponsible, you know. Or is it one of those things where, like, okay, it's a struggle and, you know, I would have liked for it to be done this way, but it was done a different way. Is it worth that, like, head on, knockdown, drag out conflict? And that's really hard for me as a mom. really, really hard. And that's why I tell everybody, if you live with girls now, if you live in a dorm, if you live in an apartment, use this as an opportunity to really work on your conflict resolution right now, because someday you're gonna, you know, if you're married and you have children, you will put a lot of those skills into practice with your own family, and it will help you tremendously to know, like, this is not a mad issue. Like, you know, with my kids, like, I want to teach them responsibility. I want to teach them these things, but what do I care more about? I don't want to be so nitpicky that the things that really, truly matter, they've just shut me down because mom's always nagging about something, you know? And like I said, it's just that fine line sometimes between that discernment of, like, you know, what is sinful and what's just something that I just don't like. You know, and I think it's really important for us to make sure that we do that. And I like Proverbs 19:11, because it says a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. I like that because my computer's about to die. I don't know why. It was like 99% like 5 minutes ago. Mel, will you grab my charger out of the bag? I like this verse because it challenges the mess out of me. Like, I am not a patient person. I have to pray every day for patience. Please help me be patient. Please help me do this. To overlook an offense, like I said, when you're a, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 kind of girl, and everything should, you know, every action should have a consequence or whatever, to say, you know what, I'm just going to let this go. I'm going to be, is that me? Did you unplug me?
You unplugged her. Oh, my gosh.
Hello? Hello? That's okay. I'm just gonna keep going. Is it, huh? Can I come back on? Hello? Okay. But to overlook an offense is huge for me. It really is something that I'm incredibly challenged by, and I've been looking at this, you know, just over and over and over again, that God will allow me to have that kind of discernment to know when I need to address something and when I need to just let things go. One of the ways we have that discernment is, like, I have to ask God for that wisdom. You know, I look at the way the men handled the situation earlier that we talked about with the widows, you know, is that, you know, they were assigning men to wait tables. Yeah, we accidentally unplugged something. I think it's all cool now. Sorry. And my computer went from 99% to 18% in like 10 minutes. What the heck? So if you could fix that, that'd be awesome. What was I gonna say? Oh, so they're like, they have to pick people to wait tables, and I absolutely love that. It's also frozen. I absolutely love that they picked men who they said, you know, like, were good men that were full of God, and like, they were full of wisdom. And then they went and they prayed over them. And I just look at things like that. And when I have, like, the situations in my life, I have conflict in my life. If I have things that come up that I'm like, I don't know, is this something that I should, like, make a big deal? Is this something that I should really, like, you know, fight against? Is this worth it? Then I really think it's important that I go straight to God and I pray about it. And that is a huge struggle for me. That is something that I'm almost embarrassed to admit that is not my first response as much as it should be. I think I have learned that by God saying, here's an issue, you know, you have to face all these head on, or, you know, or you're not doing like what I've asked you to do. Because of that, I've really learned, like, man, I have to go to God and just be like, God, I don't know. Like, help me. Give me the discernment. Give me patience. Give me, you know, the right things to do, the right things to say. We're not going to read the whole thing, but James 1:5-8, just, it tells us if we ask God for wisdom, that he's going to give it to us. And I think sometimes that we forget, I know I do, and I'm saying we because this is me. So whenever I say we, I mean me, and I'm just assuming other people have the same struggles as me. But I think sometimes I forget that God's promised me that if I say, like, can I have wisdom in this area, that he's going to give it to me. He's going to give it to me in 3 different areas. The first one is his word. We know it. Sometimes I'm just baffled when I get in my word and I read the Bible and it gives me advice on how to handle things and I'm like, that's really good. And I shouldn't be surprised by it, but I am learning so much this year. I will not give any advice to anyone without having scripture attached to it. I will not try to encounter a situation without having at least searching myself 5 or 6 scripture, but at least going in to talk to people with 3 or 4 scripture. There's even been some times when I'm like, I'm just gonna answer people with a verse because what I have to say is going to be a bad. So I just need to not even put my own spin on it. I just need to be like, this is what the Bible says. Like, you know, like when someone's like, well, I think blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this is what God says. I know one time me and Sarah were talking and I gave her some verses and I said, this is this. And she said, I think you're right. And I've said, I know I'm right. Because it was all God's verses. That's the only reason why I know I'm right here. Like, but it was kind of really, I don't know. It was awesome. It was very anxiety freeing for me to know that I was like, you know, this is right. Not because I know I'm right, because I always think I'm wrong. And I'm always like, man, I'm wrong. I'm stupid. I do stupid stuff. I'm not adequate. I'm inadequate. I don't know what to say. I don't know way to handle things, you know, but at this situation I was like, no, I know that I'm right. Because I just sent you I think I literally sent her 12 verses one day. And I was like, man, how awesome is that? Like, I know I'm giving you good advice because it's not for me. The second thing is his people though. Like God puts people in our lives to help us. And I just cannot stress enough, because I feel like this is where a lot of conflict comes from, is we want that and it's so crazy. Carrie just got done talking to a friend from high school, which for him that was over 20 years ago. And he was like, I really do try to pray and I try to read and I'm trying to do this, but I just can't do this without having people in my life hold me accountable, show me how to do it in their lives. I just need to see people who have done it and I need them to be like, how did you apply this to your life? But that is an area of huge conflict because we don't like it when people tell us what to do. We're very independent people that we're like, I want you to, and I want you in my life, but then also it's a great source of conflict when people are like, "This, you're not doing what the Bible says," but then you're upset that your life's not turning out the way that, you know, and that's super frustrating for me, I know, at times, when people are like, I love your relationship with Kennedy, I want a mother-daughter relationship like that, and then I'll be like, this is what me and Kennedy, blah, 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 and they look at me like I have 3 eyes, and they're like, don't tell me how to raise my kid, and I'm like, okay, well, don't say you want a relationship and ask me what we do, because, you know, and I'm like, no, man, it just frustrates me to no end, but, you know, it just, I have learned by seeing other people that God's put in my life that if I really want to handle things, you know, or I want things to go this way, or I don't want this conflict in my life or whatever, that I have to learn to handle things in this way. And God's put people in my life, whether I like people telling me what to do or not. The Bible says over and over again, you know, to listen to people and listen to our leaders and imitate other people's lives. And then, you know, just like I said, and just the prayer, just constantly going to God and asking him, God, please, you know, help me figure out the right way to handle this. God, you know me, and me and my girls talked about this last night. Sometimes just we have to go to God and be like, God, I don't even know what to ask for. I don't even know what to say. And it's awesome that the Bible tells us that that's okay. We can, as long as we're going to him, that, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to intercede for me, and God knows what I really truly need. And if I'm humbling myself, then he's going to be able to give me what I need. And that's the third thing is, you know, in order to really truly have a resolution in conflict, then we have to listen. I need to be willing to sit down and listen to the problems and see what I can take responsibility for and change, and that's humility. You know, everything that encompasses conflict resolution always comes down to, there's got to be humility in it. I am telling you guys this from firsthand. I have tried and tried and tried to have conflict resolution with being prideful, with being the right one, with proving that, you know, so many times going in, my objective in this conflict is to prove that I am right. And that's what I'm going to sit down and prove to you, is that I am right. And there's no humility that in that. And whenever I go into it with like that, I mean, obviously, I mean, even if the other person backs down, like even if my children back down, if my husband backs, my husband doesn't back down, I don't know why I didn't say that. If a friend backs down, if someone else backs down and I go in there and I just all pride, no humility, no willingness to sit down and listen to what maybe I could have done differently, no willingness to say I'm sorry, to really hear them out and hear what's going on, then it's not that true reconciliation, you know, resolution. It's not. Like, yeah, they might. And that's one of the things I've always just kind of thought in the back of my head, and I think of you said a lot, is I don't want to be that person that, like, yeah, I won the argument, but afterwards everyone's like, well, I don't ever want to talk to her again. Or I'm too scared, you know, to ever go to her and tell her problems or issues I have in her life, because look at the way she handles them. Like, she either is super manipulative and mopey and, you know, like, oh gosh, the whole world's going to fall apart if you look at me the wrong way. You know, or she's super angry, or she, you know, holds a grudge, or whatever it might be. And I know I've been all those things. And that's why, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. I know I've been that person. I know that I've ended a conflict through one of those situations, but it never was really truly resolved. And there wasn't that reconciliation there. You know, I look at James 4:1-6. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? And then 6 says, but he gives us more grace. That's why the scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Man, it's not just like that God is like, I don't like it when you're proud. Like, he flat out opposes me. Like, how am I going to come out on a winning side of a conflict if God is in opposition with me? And I know it sounds simple, but man, I battle that so hard. Like, I want it to be my way. I want to be the right one. I want to be, I know, or I don't, or maybe even like, I don't even want to deal with this. To be honest, a huge thing I struggle with is like, my life's good. So sorry, that's going that way for you. But you know, like, I have to be uncomfortable. And that's something this last couple months, the conflict hasn't even been one that like someone came to me with a conflict. It was where I had to create a conflict because I saw something that wasn't right, or I saw something that wasn't going to go the right way. And man, that selfish ambition that he talks about in there, that's like, you know, I just didn't want to have to deal with it. Like, people, what if they don't, everyone will like me if I say everything they want to hear, like, or everyone will like me, or this will go this way, or I don't have to deal with it, I don't have to lose sleep, I don't have to spend extra time studying it, I don't have to, like, you know, make sure that I'm, like, you know, going to meeting after meeting after meeting to try to make sure that everyone's being heard and we're speaking the right way, and I don't have to make sure my attitude's in the right place when I sit down and talk to people, because that's half the battle for me, is getting mentally prepared to sit down and not go in there like, whatever, or I'm right, or I don't care, I don't, whatever it might be, you know. And that goes, and that's the last, you know, the last thing that I wanted to talk about with properly, you know, dealing with conflict, is just speaking the truth in love, you know. And that does sometimes require us to create, either if there is a smaller conflict, it might create a larger conflict for the time being, or to be like, there's, you know, maybe there you see something and you know you need to go in and create a conflict in order to get to a bigger heart and character problem. And this is like, oh my gosh, I can't even tell you how many times I've looked over these next verses and I've talked about with people, is I am not a true friend if I'm not willing to go to bat with you, not just for you. Like, if I really, really love you, and like, this is how I honestly feel in my life. If I love you, you know I love you if I'm willing to go up and say something that might start a fight or conflict between us. Because if I don't ever say anything to you about that, then, well, you probably need to challenge me, because I probably need to be more loving towards you. Because it's just one of those things where the people I am the closest to in my life, the people that I have the tightest, closest relationship, were not the ones that I sat back and were like, yay, everything you're doing, super. They were the people that I came to was like, okay, I hate this, you're not doing the right thing, I know it doesn't exactly affect my life right now, but because I love you, it does, so come on, let's fight this out, let's have a battle, let's have a conflict, you know, let's do this and that, you know. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth to love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. You know, if I want my children to grow up to be mature, and I want them to grow up to be strong, there needs to be conflict while they're children. They need to know that, like, if they're doing something and they're acting immature, that mom's going to head that off and be like, no, I'm not going to allow you to act like a spoiled little brat and just be like, well, I don't want him to be upset with me, so I'm not going to say anything, you know. I'm a spanker. I'm a grounder. We have nothing days, nothing weeks at our house, and that's where we literally take away everything besides, like, food and clothes. I want to preface that. I'm not. But I mean, like, there's, like, no TV, no video games, no whatever. And we have family shows that we watch together. We watch a lot of BBC shows. So, but man, last week the boys got in big trouble, and we're like, nothing week. And they were like, no, like, I'm so sorry. And we're like, no. And so we were watching this, like, show together, this, you know, BBC TV show, and, you know, it's like Monday night, family night, and they're like, whoa, like, everybody all day is like, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? You know, and I'm like, we're not gonna watch it. And they're like, what? You can't do that. You know, and I'm like, I love you so much. I want you to know how dang serious I am about what you guys did, that we're not going to watch this. You know, at one point in time, I was like, me and Dad and Kennedy are gonna watch in the living room while you guys sit in your room. And they were like, absolutely no, we will do anything. You know, and it's just like one of those things where I hate that. Like, that is my favorite, one of my favorite times of the whole week is when we sit down and we cuddle together and we watch our shows and, you know, whatever else. I love it. And I hate that they were like, why are you being so mean to us? Why are you doing this to us? Like, it was just one thing that we've ever done wrong. And, you know, and, like, I hate that. I don't like, I mean, Jackson will give you this look on his face like, you were the meanest person, and I'll never. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he's like, I'm so sorry, I love you, and I'm so bad. But, like, when he's doing it, man, he just gets this look on his face, and you feel like you're the worst person in the world. And that's, like, something I've really talked to a lot of my girls about lately, is, like, I'm like, you know what? If I really truly love you like sisters, if I really truly love you like children, I'm going to be willing to put my foot down and say, uh-uh, like, because I care about you enough. Like, if my own child was doing this, would I stop them and be like, hex, no, you better stop acting like a fool? Yeah, I would, because I don't want them to be embarrassed. I don't want them to have a bad life. Like, you know, when I'm sitting there talking to, you know, them about, like, why it's important for them to, like, clean their room and why we have to battle about being responsible, I'm like, because I don't want you to be that kid that no one wants to be a roommate with someday. And I'm like, I mean, it's funny, but, like, I'm like, you're going to be that one that everybody kicks out of the apartment. You know, like, you're going to be that one that can't find a roommate in college in a dorm because they're turning you in all the time because you've got, like, stacks of food everywhere. And I'm like, I don't want that for you. Like, that's embarrassing. And I want you to, like, have good relationships later on. I don't want you to have stupid conflict and stupid crap with people because of, like, little things that I didn't address when you were children. And, you know, in order to speak the truth to them, you know, in love, I want them to grow up to be mature. I feel that same way about the women in my life now, and I hope that they feel that same way about me, you know. And it's why it is really important, and for those of us who do really struggle with saying the hard things, speaking them, one of the biggest things is, like, well, the first thing it says, speak it in love, speak the truth in love. So if you're speaking truth, you know that it's truth, and you're saying it in a loving way, then, you know, and I can honestly say, for the most part, most of the time, it really has turned out exactly, you know, the way that it should. You know, I look at Proverbs 27:6. This has been my go-to verse for, like, every day for 6 months. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. If I'm really your friend, I'm going to be willing to wound you. I'm going to be willing to have a conflict with you, a battle with you, whatever it might be. It might be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Oh my gosh, you're right. Thanks. And in my head, I build that up to like, we have like, you know, we're like hiding behind tables and like throwing grenades, you know, like that's what I built it up in my head. But for the most part, like the people who I'm really close with and the people, you know, that I have a really good relationship with, I can be like, hey, you went from zero to 100 in 5 seconds with your husband. What's up with that? And they're like, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You know, I'm like, man, I thought that could have went really bad, but it really turned out really well because the people that I say those kind of things to are like, I know you're my friend and you wouldn't say something that hurts me if you didn't really love me, you know? And that's one of the biggest things, you know, that I have to realize that people who love me will say the hard things to me. If you don't have someone in your life who is willing to go to conflict with you and willing to go to battle with you and say the hard things to you when you are making a mess of your life, then you need to really truly ask yourself, like, is this like someone who's a really close good friend? Because we all need someone in our life who's going to say, your life is not matching up with what the Bible says right now, or you're creating a disaster for your relationships, for your future marriage, for your marriage now, you know, for your children. One of the hardest things to say something to is to another mom, to tell another mom that they're not doing something the right way. That is like the thing that I probably would, I don't know, avoid it more than like anything else, because nobody wants to hear that. But if I really truly want my friend's children to grow up and to, you know, whatever, if I see something, I'm gonna say something, even if it causes that, you know. So I need to make sure that I have those people in my life, and I need to be willing to see that for what it is. If someone comes to me and says the hard things, they love me. If somebody's willing to take a perfectly comfortable relationship and cause a little conflict in it for me to be a better woman, and man, that person really loves me, and that's a good friend. But also, I also need to be that person who says the really hard, honest things to each other, to other people. And again, keyword, love. Say it, the truth in love. You know, you wouldn't be surprised at how many conflicts are easily resolved when people take things down a notch and they say them in a really kind way. You know, you can go in and say the truth in a harsh, you know, matter of fact way, and no one will hear you. And you can go in and say the truth in a humble, very vulnerable, loving way, and you would be so amazed at how many walls and stuff that you know, that takes down. You know, really make sure that we're really seeking to understand people. You know, if I'm in a conflict, am I looking at where are they coming from? Where is this coming from? Like, well, I think it might be stupid they're offended by that, but maybe why? What's going on in their life, you know? I know me and a friend were just talking the other day, but like, man, why am I getting so easily offended by, you know, this stuff right now? Like, this is stuff normally roll off my back. And they're like, well, we're coming off the holidays. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm way more sensitive after the holidays with everything that's gone down with my family, you know? And she knew that because she's the same way. So I think, you know, like us being able to talk over those things, I'm like, yeah, you know what, you're right. Like, people aren't saying things to try to upset me. I'm just in a really super sensitive state right now because it's the holidays, you know? And I hope that people would look at me like that and offer me that grace and that mercy, you know, and whatever. But, and then, you know, just kind of, you know, a lot of things that we just talked about were obviously like things that we can do, you know, and hopefully if it's conflict within, you know, two women, you know, or like family or whatever else where people are trying to do the right thing and you're both trying to be godly and you both try to handle it in this way, then the conflict, you know, hopefully will be resolved. But I read a quote and it talked about, you know, like sometimes, I was reading, you know, a few books about this, like sometimes some things that are broken, they can't be fixed. You know, I can't force anything upon anybody. And there does sometimes have to come a point in time in conflict when you can look at the verse and say, okay, as it is possible, as far as it depends on me, I have tried to do everything that I can to live peacefully with people. I have tried to handle this conflict, you know, in the most godly way. I've asked for wisdom. I've asked other people for help. I've been in my word. I've looked at things. I've been humble. I've tried to take responsibility for my part. But there just sometimes, honestly, there just comes a point in time where, you know, reconciliation can only happen when both people are on board for that. And I think that's really hard for us sometimes to look at and be like, okay, you know, when someone else isn't willing to do those things, to be able to say like, I have to work in forgiveness to let go and to move on with my life and not live there. And that's something that's very hard for me to do when there just can't be reconciliation. And then I can honestly say, like, I really have tried to do everything, you know, and that person, you know, either like won't meet with me, like won't tell me like if I've done something wrong, you know, or how to fix the problem. You know, I think of one friend that I have in particular that I have, like, did I do something to offend you? What is it? Can we please sit down and talk? Let's work this out. Like, you know, we both say that we're godly women, and she doesn't have any desire for that. And I still to this day, I'm like, I don't really know what else to do. And it doesn't mean that I'm not sad about it. And it doesn't mean that I don't grieve that, and it doesn't break my heart. And I'm not even saying that there's not times when I'm like, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I fix? But there does have to come a point in time when I do have to let that go, because if not, then I'll punish other people in my life who don't deserve it because of maybe a bad outcome with a conflict here. Then I'll be like, well, see, that's how it is. That's how it turns out. You can try to do everything right, and it, you know, nothing will come from that. But I just think it's really important for us to constantly let our hearts be tender and soft and be like, okay, that might be broken and I might not be able to fix that. I got to give that to God and put it in His hands. But I also need to make sure that I'm still doing the right thing over here, 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 and here. Because, you know, she might have acted that way, but she hasn't, she hasn't, she hasn't, she hasn't. And look at all these amazing relationships I have. And yeah, I'm deeply saddened by that, you know, or family. You know, I didn't, no secret to anyone who's ever talked to me, that I do not have reconciled relationships with my family. And every time I sit down and try to figure that out, I have to look at what I can do, but I also have to come to the realization that it may never be the way that I want it to. So right now, my job, my responsibility is to take the lessons I've learned from that and to try to implement that into my own family. So that way my children never say, like, well, I tried with mom, but she's just unbearable, or she doesn't forgive, or she won't ever budge, or, you know, whatever it might be. So, you know, those are like really important lessons that I've had to learn, but it is really important for us to grieve the loss of, you know, maybe relationships that ended in a conflict that didn't turn out the way that they should have, and make sure that we are very aware of the way that we are responding to that, so that we don't, you know, project that or punish other people in our lives. But, you know, I think if we look at this and we go into it with the humility, and we go into it asking God for help, and we go into it involving other people, and that means even having other people. I've seen a situation where people are like, yeah, we have a conflict, I want to bring somebody else in so they can help tell that other person too with me how wrong they are. But being willing to be like, okay, and I'm also going to be, you know, listen to what you have to say about maybe how I can handle this differently, you know, and, you know, handle it with the patience, be willing to overlook, you know, maybe an offensive, something that offended us. And I think it's honestly more annoyed. Like, I know for me, I'm like, did they do me wrong, or did they annoy me? You know, if I can put it in that easy black and white category, then I'm like, they annoyed me, I can get over it, or easily be like, hey, you're being annoying, knock it off. Like, you know, whatever. But, you know, if I can do those things, and I really, truly, not only know because what God says about how to live peacefully with one another, and see, like, you know, in that scripture, when they went and they were like, okay, this is a problem, what are we going to do about it? They listened. They heard the complaints. They were humble about it. They went to God. They asked God for help. And then at the very end, it says, you know, and then like the ministry kept going, and people, more and more people were coming into having a relationship with God, because they nipped that in the bud really quickly, you know. And so I feel like if I can follow those same things in my life, and we can do that too, then, you know, you'd be really surprised, you know, at how, like I said, conflict can not only, you know, be beneficial for the people involved, but it can also be beneficial for others, maybe others that are watching, or just because maybe you got something out of the way that's not a problem anymore, you know, and now God's able to do things that He wasn't able to do before. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll be done, and then it's time for lunch, my favorite part of the day. Dear God, I just want to thank You for the time that we've had together today. Noah's been sick for like 2 weeks and I don't feel too great, but I'm just really grateful, mostly for the opportunity to get to to get into the Bible and look and see what you have to say about things, because too often I do them based on my own feelings or my own desires. And, you know, just being in your word every day and learning how to do things your way, and it's so much better than my own, God. And I just, right now, I pray for any of the conflicts that any of us might be involved in right now, that we can have the traits that you've laid out for us, you know, and we'll be going to you and getting the help that we need, but also that we will be women that are bold, that we're good friends who really do say the things that we need to say, because that's what you said, that, you know, that makes us a good friend, God. And I just pray for anyone, honestly, whose heart might be broken right now and might be upset or might be in turmoil over like a conflict in their life, God, that you'll give them a sense of peace, that they that you're in control, and that you're going to take care of things, God. Thank you for everything that you've done. I'm so very grateful for the amazing grace and mercy that you've shown me, and for the relationships that you've put in my life, God. Again, thank you for just the opportunity to come and get away for a little bit and just to learn and to relax and have a good time. In Jesus' name, amen.